all of us that. What we did. And Debbie and I went to it, and we were just amazed at the I don't know what you want to call it. I think you know what I'm talking about. Just the way that he did all the lighting and that kind of thing. I mean, they had spaceships and they had lasers, and we didn't even know what lasers were back then. And they were lasering and all these kind of thing. And if you remember the plot of the film, it was the arrival of spaceships from a distant planet and somewhere in our galaxy. And when these UFOs first arrived, they every time they went around, if you recall, there were power outages. And so Richard Dreyfuss plays a utility company workman who is trying to figure out where these outages are. And he's called into the area. He doesn't know the area. And as soon as he comes in, the supervision sends him on out to the road to look in the areas where it seems to be happening. And there's this one particular part that I always enjoyed in that movie, because he gets up to these railroad tracks and he pulls over and he gets out the map because he's totally lost. He's trying to figure out, and these headlights come up behind him and sit behind him, and he's thinking, you know, he's looking at a map and kind of thinking, why don't they go around? So finally he rolls down his window and signals them around, and the headlights go on over the top of his cab and on forward, and we realize that was the first time that we saw the UFO. And how fun that was. And at that point, he chases that UFO, and he gets to this hill with a bunch of people who had seen it, and they see all these UFOs just around, and it's just like unbelievable to them. And then after that, we see Richard Dreyfuss's character get obsessed with building what looks like maybe a mountain of some type. And first he wakes up in the morning and he builds one out of his pillowcase. And then pretty soon he builds one out of his mashed potatoes. I put a little picture up there because all of us that saw that film thought that was pretty great. And then finally he builds a lifelike model in his living room. And at that point his wife takes the kids and leaves him because she thinks he's too over the hill and all this. But, you know, we also see that he, with this, that he has this feeling, and he finally figures out it's a mountain in Wyoming, the Devil's Tower. And so he sets off, and he thinks he's alone, and he's trying to find this tower, and he come to find out there's dozens of people that have been on that hill with him, where they saw all those UFOs. And, you know, as the old thing goes, you know, somehow the aliens were able to subliminally call him, give him an invitation to meet them at that location in Wyoming. And so he gets through all the different barriers and stealths his way in and makes it. And he even gets to meet the aliens who plotted it and issued the invitation in the first place. But that movie came to mind when I thought about The Christmas Story, because I almost wonder if the writer was writing The Christmas Story but putting it into the framework he put it in, because 21 centuries ago, 2100 years ago, history records several people in three groups that each receive an invitation from the God of the universe to meet together and behold a major event in the world history. And the invitation with these three groups leads to a far more significant encounter than did that of Dreyfuss's character. The movie was fiction, but this, it was real, recorded for you and I by historians who were present. You know, people can attempt to say, you know, there is no God and there is nothing, but it amazes me when I think of the prophecy 750 years earlier, and I want to just read a couple. There are many, many prophecies that this event was prophesied with the birth of Jesus Christ. And it starts about 750 years. It actually started at creation, but it gets very clear. 750 years earlier, the prophets describe exactly what happens. And let me just read three of them that are probably familiar to you. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give to you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Daniel, in the 9th chapter, and I can't read through that, it would take too long, gives us the timing so clearly that at the time of Jesus' birth, all of Israel was aware that this ruler would be born in Israel, in the town of Bethlehem. And because of that anticipation in the days of Herod, it happened that the first group is called to Bethlehem, as predicted by the prophets, a virgin and her husband to be, her betrothed husband. And because of a last minute decision on Caesar's part in Rome to have everybody go to their original towns to be for the census, Mary and Joseph travel for hundreds of miles to the south and end up in the city where all these prophets declared that Jesus would be born. The invite came from God to Mary, then to Joseph, that they would have the Son of God. The other two groups that I'm referring to, of course, are the shepherds and the wise men, are called the Magi, and God's invitation was for them to be present to see this birth happen of the prophesied Jesus, Emmanuel, his only birthed son. Now the second group, as you know, the Magi, were summoned from the east. We think they came from Babylon, and there was a star that shone, and they realized in history, and as they read the manuscripts of the Old Testament, they realized this was the star that was going to lead them to Bethlehem. And so we see them take off, three of them, on a long, long journey, months of travel. And Luke says the angel appeared to them, and this star led them all westward. And, you know, I've listened and read all the theories on the stars, and we see, like, I watched the Nativity, and they talk about Jupiter and Saturn, all of them lining up. But I just want to say something here. How in the world do three planets come together, shine in the little spot where a baby is born? It doesn't work. It was more mystical than that. It was more God-oriented than that. And then the third group is the shepherds. And they get the invitation, but they get a huge confrontive invitation on the mountainside as the angel appears, and Luke tells us about it, to announce the birth of God's child. And the multitude of angels sang and gave glory to God. And these poor shepherd people, now let me just explain something about shepherds in those days. They were so disliked. And you know what? I have to give you this little clue. I raised sheep for about 9 years. We had about 2.5 acres. And so I'd raise sheep, and none of my cattlemen hardly liked me. They said, "Well, we hate sheep. They stink," as if cattle don't, right? And so we'd laugh about it and we'd joke about it. But what was interesting is all through history, shepherds have not been so liked. In fact, in my research, I found out that if there was a needed witness in a court and it was a shepherd, they disallowed it because they felt like all shepherds were liars and cheats and wouldn't tell the truth. And so we have these people who are rejected by society, and an angel appears and announces to them the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, Isn't that our God? Isn't that our God to go to the poor first? So let me just read an account out of Luke chapter 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," excuse me, "and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by them, which were told them by the shepherds. Now, isn't that interesting that God gives the shepherds the information, and the unreliable witnesses then witness what the angel said, and it becomes the truth. And God takes the liars and turns them into the witnesses. That was one of the things that hit me. Here's the second one, Matthew 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Excuse me, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them whether the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from him what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when he had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And you know, as I thought about that, I thought what's interesting is it wasn't just that three Magi, or three kings, or three wise men came to see Christ. How did they know that in the first place? And I think it was they came from Babylon, because with Daniel and some of those great known people of the Old Testament, they passed down the history and the manuscripts. And these were probably three Jewish men who came to see the Savior born. And one guy that I think it was you that even researched it, I'm not sure, that found out this guy spent a ton of money trying to figure out how much gold they gave Jesus. And they couldn't come up with an answer other than the fact that Christ and his family would have been independently wealthy with the gold that they got, to say nothing about the spices. You know, when we look at close encounters of the third kind, we look at something fictional. And yet we see in close encounters this invitation to come to a place to make peace. In the Word of God, 750 years ago, they began to invite and invite and invite. And all of Israel knew that it was going to take place. And we see a little boy born of Mary, who would become the everlasting Father, the Almighty God, the God with us. And you know, I think in our own minds, we get tricked into thinking that God loves the professionals. He loves the pastors and missionaries more than he loves the sinner. He loves the wise men more than he would the shepherds. But isn't it amazing that the real strong invitation came through the shepherds? A miraculous invitation. God is the God of all. Do you ever forget that sometimes? That God is the God of all of us. In our own life, as we get close to God and as we read our Bible, it's I said this a few weeks ago, it's like the light shines and all you see is more dirt. All you see is your sin, even that much more. And there's times when you think, well, wait a minute, God. I know you accept Joe and Jim, but man, I feel bad about my sin. And Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're near or far, you're educated or illiterate, you're rich or poor, Christ came for you and I. And boy, do I take comfort in that. What a great thing. Christmas is not for one segment of society or one special people on one side of a planet. He came for all of us. He came to be Savior for you and for me, no matter what our sin is, no matter what happens in our life. He came for us that we might live with him together. Is that comfort to you? Man, I take comfort in that. As the guys come back to the stage and we get ready, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about it because not only are we just kind of drawn into the Christmas season, but we're entering a new year, and I know that a lot of you like to make New Year's resolutions. And, you know, it's a good time to sell gym equipment, right? Because we make all these. But let me encourage you this year. Our scripture is, for me to live is Christ, for us to live is Christ. That's where we are in our letter to the Philippians. For us to live is Christ. What are you going to do about that this year? Wouldn't it be nice to set a New Year's resolution to draw closer to God? To begin to read the Word more. Begin to experience a greater relationship, getting together with the body of Christ. Living a life of much more peace, much easier because we are living closer to God. Isn't that a great resolution? And I'd encourage you to think about that this year. We're going to worship together as the bread and the juice is passed out. If you're new here, we welcome you to join us in this particular event, and I'll be back up in a few minutes.